I'm Leslie Canham.
I'm Mary Gavoni.
I'm Linda Harvey.
I'm Olivia Wan, and together we are the Compliance Divas.
Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Canham. And today on the Compliance Divas podcast, it is a special episode sponsored by Stericell. And we focus on dental unit water. We bring clarity and simplicity to compliance by navigating the regulatory environment to keep you on course. You can subscribe to the Compliance Divas podcast through your favorite podcast channel or on our website, the book, compliancedivas.com. The resources we mentioned during our podcast can be found on the compliancedivas.com website. And you're always welcome to submit questions to support at thecompliancedivas.com. So it's only water, right? Well, it's one of the most important infection control protocols we perform in dentistry, being the proper maintenance of our dental unit water lines. Water from handpieces, air and water syringes, ultrasonic scalers come into direct contact with our patient's oral cavity and might even be ingested. How safe is your dental water? This podcast will address best practices in treating and monitoring dental unit water so you can be confident that you are delivering safe dental care. When a patient sits in our chair, they have every right to expect that our infection control protocols will protect them in every way. The instruments that we used are sterilized. We diligently clean and disinfect the treatment room. What about your dental unit water? How safe is it for your patients? There have been outbreaks directly connected to contaminated dental unit water. It was in 2012 in Italy when an 83-year-old woman died from Legionnaire's disease, which she contracted from the water lines in a dental practice. In 2015, 20 children who were treated at a dental clinic in Jonesboro, Georgia, suffered from Mycobacterium abscessus infections due to contaminated dental unit water. And most recently, in 2016, contaminated dental unit water led to the largest outbreak. 71 children who were treated at a pediatric dental clinic in Orange County, California, contracted serious dental infections, with 70 of those kids being hospitalized. So safe dental unit water is a standard of care, and I would like to introduce Brianna Downs. Brianna is the manufacturing and design engineer at Stericell, and she has been with this company since its inception. Brianna, thank you so much for joining us on the Compliance Divas podcast to help us learn more about steps we can take to live up to that standard of care. Welcome. Linda, do you have some questions for Brianna?
Absolutely. I'd like to welcome Brianna as well. I think this is great to have you here today. And this is such an important topic. And last year, with the peak of the pandemic, it really brought a lot of attention to dental unit water lines in our industry. There was quite a bit of guidance and tips and a lot of recommendations that were being provided from all different agencies and companies about closing and reopening offices like our doctors were experiencing. So that was one aspect of how it came to, you know, more even a greater awareness in our dental community. And then sometimes I'm also asked by offices or attendees at seminars about dental unit water lines, because there's this assumption, Brianna, that because the water is potable, or it's, you know, just municipal water coming through the lines that's drinkable, or because they're using distilled water, that the water's safe. So maybe you could talk to us a little bit about why do dental offices need to be treating their water lines?
Thank you, Linda. And thank you, Leslie, as well. First and foremost, thank you all to the Compliance Divas for having me. Very excited to be here. That is a really excellent place to start, Linda. And I want to begin answering that by first getting a few definitions out of the way, both of which you mentioned there. When we talk about water treatment, there are really two parts to it. We have what we call impurities or dissolved solids, and then you have bacteria. Impurities are things like chlorine and iron, the stuff that causes a weird ring to appear around your pet's water bowl if you're not rinsing it frequently enough. These things can be measured by the amount of total dissolved solids, or TDS. EPA's standard drinking water limit on TDS is 500 parts per million. So that's what you would see coming out of your building's faucet, for example, and what they mean when they're talking about potable treated water. If a clinic is buying distilled water or has a water filtration system, they may have even lower, much lower TDS. We call that water purification, taking out those impurities. Now on the other side, you have bacteria. And this is all kinds of bacteria, good and bad. Now, water treatment plants will do a lot to reduce the presence of harmful bacteria, such as by treating the water with chlorine. But here's what happens. The water comes into your dental facility, and either through direct feed or your bottles, it'll flow through the teeny tiny dental tubing and out your handpiece. Now, we are all aware that the vast majority of the time, dental water lines are sitting stagnant. Inside that small room temperature tubing, bacteria get really happy and they begin to grow exponentially, as fast as doubling every 4 minutes. So even if you remove most of the bacteria before the water enters the tubing, let's say even with a UV light, it won't take very long for it to come back in force. And this is why it's so important to have a residual waterline treatment. Residual, meaning it's always present in the water, constantly working against bacteria growth.
Well, those are some really important concepts, Brianna, because when you think about the definitions are really important, because I think a lot of our dental team members don't realize the difference between the total dissolved solids versus the bacteria and how that's two different, entirely different components. And then also the fact of how fast this bacteria can double. May think, oh, I've got, you know, I tested my water. I have 400, you know, colony forming units. I should be fine. And they don't realize that, you know, you really should have it much lower. And I've seen test results come back with Stericell products specifically, and they're zero or less than 10. So that's a really, really important piece. And how stagnant the water is in those lines is also another aspect of that. So those are some good tips. Thank you so much. Olivia, what are your thoughts?
Well, Brianna, we advocate quality control programs to assure compliance in the dental offices that we serve. So from your perspective, what are the necessary components to ensure that a dental practice has in place a comprehensive treatment protocol plan? Can you speak to that topic?
Absolutely, Olivia. Here at Stericell, we like to use an acronym, SMART, to break down what we call the complete continuum of care. So I'll just step through that. S in SMART is for safe. Recall that we're talking about something that is always present in the water, including at the point of use. So your dental waterline treatment solution must be safe for your patients and your clinicians and for your equipment. So for example, all Stericell products use silver as the fighting force against bacteria. Silver is highly effective in even very, very small amounts, which means the Stericell products are safe for patients and clinicians. Additionally, silver is non-corrosive and non-oxidizing, which means it won't eat at the metal components inside your dental equipment and handpieces. So safe. It needs to be safe. And then manageable. Let's be real. A dental office is a very busy place. If you want to ensure compliant protocols, they have to be easy and convenient to follow. I think the best example of this is the Stericell straw. With a built-in shock treatment, all you do is install the straw and then let it do its work for a year and replace it at the one-year mark. A is for accurate. In line with the manageable element above, a good treatment plan has to work for your office. The best treatment plan for a university dental clinic is not necessarily the best plan for a small four-operatory practice. A large university may need a full-fledged water treatment system that is simultaneously conditioning, treating the water coming in, taking out those impurities, and giving them a high capacity of dental water. Or tablets may be the best solution. So it's really important to work with manufacturers, with your local OSHA consultants and other resources, OSAP, CDC recommendations and guidelines, to figure out what's going to be the best for your office and your team. Reliable and consistent. You want to know that your product is always working against that bacteria. And that really comes in two parts. I'm sure many of you have heard before the importance of shock. And so we talk about both shock and residual maintenance treatment. You want a product that is going to bring down those high levels of bacteria that are first coming into your water lines. And then you want that residual treatment that's always in the water, always working against your bacteria. That's how you know you're going to get reliable treatment, is when it's always there. And last, treatment that works, or I also like to connect that to testing. Of course, it's important to be using a good and effective product, but you also need to verify that that product is actually working. And it's not just the product, it's also, as I mentioned, the protocol. You want to ensure that your entire compliance package is satisfying your needs and requirements.
Thank you, Brianna. I love that acronym, SMART. That's really helpful. And I like how you elaborated that the option that's in place should be manageable, convenient, and easy to follow. Mary, what other areas should we look at?
Well, as Brianna said, we need to make sure that we're using treatment that works. Why go to all the trouble and expense of having a water treatment protocol when we really don't know if it's working or not. And that is validated through testing. So Brianna, talk to us a little bit about how important it is to test water and the types of water tests that are available to us in dentistry.
Absolutely, Mary. So of course, OSAP recommends testing monthly until you've attained passing results for two consecutive months, and then to continue testing monthly or reduce to quarterly testing cycles as long as you're continuing to get those passing results. So I think there's two important elements there. One being it's continuous. Even once you start getting those passing results, you're not done. You need to continue to get those at least quarterly to ensure that your protocol and products are continuing to be doing the work that they need to be doing. The other part of that is that sometimes you may fail. So it creates a cycle. If you fail, that's okay. It just means you need to shock and retest. You continue to do that process. And the great thing is, over the past few years, more water testing products and packages have become available to customers. The easiest is the in-house paddle test. Stericell offers a version of this called the MyCheck. This is something that offices can keep on the shelf. They can perform themselves. It's affordable. It's easy. They don't need to ship it in anywhere. The results will come in 72 hours. So it's a really great option if you want to make sure that you're getting those good results. It's a good kind of in-between metric. But it's important to note with the paddle test that it's not third party. It's not an independent test. So while it is valuable as a resource, you also want to make sure that from a compliance and a liability standpoint, you have a third party test result that is saying, yes, this water is good to go. That's where you have tests like the R2A auger method. We've simplified that and we call that the standard check. This is the test method that is recommended by OSAP, EPA as a great water test method for dental offices. It's considered the gold standard in mail-in testing. One of the really great things about this product is that in conjunction with giving you your pass-fail results, it's also going to give you a very in-depth report with high-res images even of the dishes that the bacteria can be seen on. I don't know if any of you have ever seen one of these, but it can really be quite jarring to take a water sample before and after treatment. When you can actually see the presence of that bacteria, it's incredible. Then again, from that liability standpoint, it is really important and really good to have those kinds of records on file that you can go back to and reference to know and feel secure in the quality of your water. Most recently, Sterisol has added a new testing product called the Rapid Check. The standard check, again, it's a great test method. It is the gold standard. It is going to take about 1 week to get your test results back because we have to incubate that bacteria. We have to let it grow to find out really how much is there. The Rapid Check, however, can get you results back in 24 hours. So this is really, really important if an office has a potential protocol breach that they may be concerned about and they want to know right away, do I need to be concerned about my water? Then this test can get them those results in 24 hours. So three very different options, but also all very good options. And you can see where they're going to be useful in different scenarios. So I think similar to the water testing, or sorry, similar to water treatment, your water testing is going to be a protocol package. You're going to find out what works best for you in your office.
Thanks, Brianna. That was great information about testing, and we will make the resources available on our Compliance Divas website about Sterisol's testing products. You mentioned a little bit ago about OSAP's recommendations for how often to test. And I think it's important for our listeners to know that OSAP has created this amazing documentation in the form of a white paper and validated research resources about water quality testing. And the CDC guidelines for infection control in dentistry do address water quality from the dental unit water lines. And they state that it's inconsistent with acceptable infection control practices to use water that is heavily colonized with microorganisms. But what the CDC guidance doesn't tell us specifically is how often to test. The guidance or the guidelines simply say to test your water periodically. So it's good to know that we have some guidance from OSAP and that you have designed your products to fit that, that guidance. But it's also important for dental practices to know whether or not their state has a requirement for water quality testing. And we know that there are two states right now. One is Washington State, which has passed a rule through the dental board that will become effective at the end of this year, mandating water quality testing. And Leslie can address a little bit about what's happening in California about water quality testing.
Thanks, Mary. Actually, California responded to the outbreak in Orange County with emergency legislation requiring changes to infection control regulations. But the regulatory process works very slowly here, and COVID didn't help any of that. The Dental Board passed the regulations in 2018, but they have still yet to be promulgated into law. And they have to go through the regulatory process, the Office of Administrative Law, the public comment period. And so we're kind of waiting, I say, with bated breath for new infection control regulations to hit the airwaves here in California. However, they did make a change with regards to dental unit water that's used on exposed pulp. So that, again, is directly related to the children's dental clinic outbreak where the children had pulpotomies. And they clarified the difference between using water and then sterile water or water with recognized disinfecting or antibacterial properties when performing dental procedures on exposed dental pulp. So even treated dental unit water doesn't meet that high standard of sterile or sterile saline water or water that has special medicaments or antibacterial properties. And I'd like to just go right ahead, Mary, unless you had anything further to ask Brianna, I'll go into talking a little bit more about the common errors that I hear when I go to dental practices. Sometimes the dental teams are confused. They think sometimes treating the dental unit water with a product is okay to use during surgical procedures, such as incision, excision, reflection of tissue, biopsy, periosurgery, or surgical extractions of teeth requiring elevation of the mucoperiosteal flap. And it was a common misconception, oh, I'm treating the water, so it must be safe. You know, we really need to defer to water that's sterile, sterile saline, and follow the CDC guidelines there, as well as state dental board requirements regarding surgical procedures. Another common mistake that I get a lot is when I talk to dental teams about treating their dental unit water lines, sometimes they think I'm talking about the evacuation lines. And they say, well, sure, Leslie, we run a product through the lines at the end of the day. And I say, well, what about the dental unit water? Do you have a water bottle reservoir? Or are you hooked up to municipal water? Are you doing anything to treat the water? So sometimes teams aren't aware that we're talking about the quality of the water output that goes through the air and water or handpiece or the ultrasonic scaler. Another very common mistake is improper dosing if they are treating. In the past, I would find people would not read the manufacturer's directions. So they might use something like a tablet and use a tablet for treating water that's designed for a 1 liter bottle when what they actually have on their dental unit is a 2 liter bottle. And once they realize that they're only providing, you know, half dose to that bottle, I remind them that that would be like if I went to get a cup of coffee and they watered it down with half water, half coffee, it, you know, wouldn't satisfy me. And so the improper dosing is not going to satisfy the bacterial kill that they're expecting, that they're wanting. So not following the manufacturer's directions. And then I think one other thing that happens is not shocking, that sometimes people overlook the fact, unless they're using like a straw where there's a shock agent that's already embedded in the straw, they're using tablets or another form that they're not following the manufacturer's instructions for use on shocking their lines to have that biocidal effect to remove the sticky saccharide surface that colonizes inside of dental unit lines. I have all sorts of different stories of people using, you know, improper products of using bleach, for example, in dental unit water lines, and which is highly corrosive. And, you know, pretty soon your fittings are going to start to corrode and you're going to start leaking bleach. And so I always want people to defer to the dental unit manufacturer's directions for use or to the product that they're using for treating their dental unit water to read those directions before they use that product. Anyone else have some stories to share?
I do, Leslie. Thank you. One of the instances that comes to mind is a practice that was not treating their water, not testing, not doing anything. And they implemented a system where they were adding tablets, as you mentioned, into the water, but what they added were the shock tablets. And so like, oh, our water is different color and it tastes funny. I'm like, okay, did you read the manufacturer's instructions? Did you use the appropriate tablet? Because I think what you did, instead of using the continuous use product, you used the shock. And that's exactly what it was. So can't emphasize enough the, excuse me, the importance of following the instructions, but also, as Brianna mentioned earlier, something that's convenient. The Stericil straws or cartridges are the almost the set it and forget it, that I don't have to worry whether I added a tablet every time I filled up my water bottle and so forth, because those are the steps that get missed a lot.
Leslie, I'd like to piggyback. And Brianna, I think one of going back to your acronym of SMART, you talked about SAFE, and I think it's just so important to think about, you know, not so naturally think about clinicians and for first and foremost our patients, but the equipment too, and it's corrosive for the equipment. And so if a dental practice is experiencing a lot of repairs to their handpieces, it just may be the total dissolved solids in the water. And I wanted to share a quick patient story along the way. And also I want to be sure, Brianna, to talk about, before I forget, where our listeners can attain the Sterisol products and different revenues. So last year I was speaking with an acquaintance who was very nervous about going back to the dentist last fall after the offices were opening back up. And she shared with me that she has an autoimmune disorder. And so I suggested to her that she might want to ask her dental practice, what are the colony forming units in the water? Have they tested the water? If she's concerned about her health and was nervous about going back to the dental practice. So I thought that's an interesting thing for patient safety that we may not think about with all of our patients who come into the practice and they're immunocompromised. But Brianna, I'd like to ask you, how can our listeners find you and find Sterisol and the products? What's your website? What's the best way they can go about buying and researching Sterisol products?
Absolutely, Linda. First and foremost, they can always find information on all of our products at our webpage, sterisol.com. They'll see a specific tab for products where they can find and search through all of the different offerings, everything from the systems down to the tablets. In addition, if they have any specific questions, customers are more than welcome, and anyone who has any questions can reach out to our customer support email, support@sterisol.com.
Olivia, you had a question for Brianna.
Well, I just wanted to supplement that, you know, we have to put value on our dental assistants and dental hygienists' time. And so the easier we can make that process, the better it will be for the overall success of our practices. So we really appreciate you, Brianna, taking time to spend with the Compliance Divas and telling us more about these special protocols that can make the lives of our clinical dental team members much easier. Thank you.
Olivia, it was absolutely my pleasure. We like to call ourselves the experts in dental water. This is all we do here, water treatment and now water testing, which is very exciting. And I do want to give you all just a little snippet of information that I recently learned, that Sterisol is working on a complete single operatory compliance package. I don't have all the details on exactly what it's going to look like, but I know that it's going to cover everything from the very beginning, if you've never treated your lines, all the way through to when you're testing and the products needed to treat the water, test the water, follow up, maintain those records. So be on the lookout for that. I believe maybe later sometime this year. But really, I really appreciated being able to come on and talk about all things dental water related. So thank you all so much for having me.
Brianna, it's amazing the information that you bring. You are so knowledgeable. You are so beautiful. I know our listeners that can't see you, but you are just absolutely adorable. We love you. And we also are so grateful that Sterisol is going to give us some kind of a little PDF or checklist that we can use. Anything that you can do to simplify the lives of our dental workers so that they can provide safe care. I love the tips that you gave us. I love having third-party verification. And just a personal experience, I visited your headquarters in Palmer Lake, Colorado, and I was so impressed with your telephone support center. You guys go through great lengths to help people to talk through the issues that they may encounter when they're having water issues that they're not resolving with treatment. And I love how you hold their hand and make it easy for them to resolve those issues. Well, this brings a close to another wonderful Compliance Divas podcast, where we bring clarity and simplicity to compliance by navigating the regulatory environment to keep you on course. Be sure and submit your questions to support@thecompliancedivas.com. We will have all the resources for dental unit waterline that we mentioned today on our Compliance Divas website, along with the episode of this podcast. And also, we'll have a link to the Sterisil.com that Brianna mentioned, as well as that wonderful resource that she's going to give us that we can print out and use in our dental practices. We're looking forward to that exciting new full operatory step-by-step compliance list as well. Thank you so much for joining us, Brianna, and this brings a close to another Compliance Divas podcast.